LeVar Arrington played for 7 years. Half of me was a Pro Bowler. And speak for yourself. You see him on all the time. He's been hosting this week. So it's interesting. Jason Peters, very good NFL lineman. He talked about Carson Wentz in Philly. And you know the Northeast. And he said, listen, man, it's hard to play in Philadelphia. And I was saying this earlier. There's four major cities in the Northeast. D.C.'s got the power. New York's got the money. Boston has the history and the academics with Harvard and MIT.
A lot of schools.
And Philadelphia's always had that underdog, rocky chip on their shoulder.
I like that.
And because of that, they overcompensate. Their media is relentlessly harsh. Their fans feel like, we're as good as New York and Boston. It is, I think, a uniquely harsh town to play in it.
I think that's well put.
And so,
well stated.
But it's funny, you played in various places. Are there places where you felt the heat more than others?
I played at Penn State, so that was a market that I'm connected to. We represented the entire state. So we had the best of the best of it and the worst of the worst of it, because from being from Pittsburgh, we feel like our fans can be some of the worst fans too, because we expect so much. And then you look at the other side of it, and you look at Philadelphia, and it's like, they are the underdogs. They're gritty. We're both lunch pail, hard hat towns. We're very gritty. Steel mill workers as your grandparents, or coal miners as your grandparents, mill workers as your grandparents, and even your parents. And you bring that mentality to the teams you love to cheer for, Colin. And that's just what it is. So if you are considered to be soft, or a complainer, or a whiner, or an excuse maker, oh, you go wrong, and you go wrong quick. You get in that doghouse, you ain't coming out.
Well, think about Penn State. They were the national power that didn't have names on the back for players, and they had what we used to perceive as generic uniforms. It was about football.
It was about ball.
Not about individuals.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting. Quarterbacks now have opinions. I'm for it.
It's developing.
It is.
It's evolving.
Washington's interesting, LeVar. So I like their coach. I love their defensive front. And I think they have personnel offensively that's emerging.
They do.
They don't have a quarterback. So just say this out loud. Playoff team, March, they don't have a quarterback. Alex Smith is out. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to get traded. I don't. I think Deshaun's a long shot, but possible. What about Sam Darnold?
But here's the thing, I'm not sold on Sam Darnold being a guy in Washington. I really don't think he didn't show me in New York that he would be able to transition out of New York and survive in D.C. For what it's worth, it's harsher on D.C. quarterbacks than New York Jet quarterbacks. So you got
had some good ones.
I mean, but think about what has taken place with the quarterbacks carousel in Washington, D.C., from Jeff George to Brad Johnson to Donovan McNabb to Rex Grossman. Like, we've brought in so many high profile names. We're going to learn a lot about where the identity of this Washington football team is. I've heard so many stories and reports from people internally and around the organization that says that the culture change is real. It's really beginning to take place. It excites me because that's what has always been missing. That's what has always upset me about my former team and why I disassociate is the culture. I don't buy into the culture that I played in and that I experienced. I don't buy into that. They said it has changed so much. And Ron Rivera and just Jason Wright and the type of guys, Tim Hightower is there. Doug Williams is there. There is a lot of great energy and positivity that's there. And if this is the time where you see them take the chances to get those big name free agents to come in like they've done in the past, if there's a time to do it, Colin, I would say do it now. Go after Deshaun Watson. Go after Russell Wilson. They've pulled it off in the past.
Yeah.
Go go get it done this time. Why not? Why not in the moment in time where the organization seems to be taking a very strong step and stride in the right direction, that you go get the type of players that you went and got when you weren't taking steps in the right direction? Seems like an oxymoron. So switch it up. Do it now. Go get that guy now.
You're more pro Big Ben than I am.
I'm a Big Ben fan. I have a bias as a fan. But if you're asking me, am I pro Ben as an analyst, that would be a different response.
What's your, because I think I would have been working on replacing him about 2 to 3 years ago.
See, I think they did. I think they were trying when they were drafting, when they brought Mason Rudolph in, they brought other guys in. I think they were planning on replacing him sooner than now. I don't think that the guys panned out the way that they would like for it to have panned out. There were some coaching changes. So then there were philosophy changes, offensive philosophy changes. So I just think that the timing of it worked in favor for Ben to be where he is right now. And had things gone differently, I don't think that he would still be a Pittsburgh Steeler even for last season.
I'm going to throw an idea at you. Generally, every year, 8 teams need a quarterback, and they're often the crappy teams.
Mm-hmm.
Next year is different. The Saints, the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and the 49ers may be looking for a quarterback.
Okay.
Also, Pittsburgh, Chicago, they don't have an answer beyond this year. Chicago didn't have an answer this year.
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott says, what's the recipe for Super Bowls? An A coach and a really competent front office.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys have Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones as the GM.
So what do you call that? What do you rate that?
I'm not.
Is that
not
good
an
coach
a.
and competent front office?
So I'm saying this. There's a sense in the media he's earned a long-term contract. Let's flip the telescope. Dak says, next year, in what is a bad year for college quarterbacks coming out.
Mm.
Excellent rosters, not the crappy ones,
mm-hmm.
appear to be the ones potentially needing a quarterback. That Dak says, give me the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
We all perceive it to be a slap. But if he goes to the market next year, we know Garoppolo and the Niners is not a long-term fix. And we also know Deshaun Watson's going to be, it's going to be a bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you tell me. I mean, you start, I'll put this for our radio audience, can't see this. Look, these are talented rosters on the screen. Saints, Patriots, Niners, Vikings, Steelers, Broncos, Dolphins, Bears. Could you make an argument? This is the rare instance a quarterback should seek the franchise tag.
You can make the argument because that may be his only option, right? Let's be real about it. That may be Dak Prescott's only course of action. So you can make the argument, but now the question is, and the reason why franchise tags are frowned upon is what happened to Dak Prescott. You got hurt. Your momentum going into last year wasn't based off of wins per se, even though people say it's based off of wins. Dak Prescott winning his quarterback for whatever in history, look at the stats. But he ain't beating good teams. Stats are a little off. They're skewed because he's getting garbage time stats. People have said the same arguments about Dak Prescott. Is he worth the amount of money? He's good enough where you can justify the market for him being the next guy, but he's not good enough where you say he's one of the elites where he should demand it and command it. Those quarterbacks that got through and made it through the gauntlet and got those big contracts, Colin, they made it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All of them, except for Deshaun Watson. He's the only wild card, right? If you think about Goff, if you think about Wentz, all these guys have
Mahomes,
had Super Bowl. Mahomes,
yeah.
They've all had Super Bowl appearances. Some have had accolades, MVPs. Hey, you want to be an MVP? You could get the contract, Dak. There's no problem. You want to go to the Super Bowl? Hey, Dak, there's no discussion points about this, what we're talking about right now. But he doesn't have those on his resume. So how do you justify where Dak Prescott is right now. I almost feel as though we have turned the Dak Prescott conversation into such a major conversation that we almost lose sight of why it's justified to give contracts even based off of where the market has gone. I don't know that Dak Prescott has totally blown people away on being able to get this contract, and that's why we're where we're at right now. So I don't think that going into a franchise tag year and playing this out and say he makes it through, I think the only way this works out for Dak Prescott is they have to have a successful season. And that successful season means making the Pro Bowl, possibly being up for the MVP of the league, possibly making it to at least the finals, right? At least the championship round. If you can make it to the championship round, to the Super Bowl, you get your deal. That's what happens. That's how this works. But we're trying to justify Dak Prescott getting the type of money that Mahomes gets and the type of money that Deshaun Watson gets. And he's not as good as Deshaun Watson. He's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He hasn't accomplished on that level, Colin. Yeah. So how do we continue to justify it? I don't even think that scenario plays out that way in the free agent market, even if he does get a franchise tag this year.
Finally, Baker Mayfield said he saw a UFO. Fine with me.
Okay.
Tom Brady, rolled my eyes at Baker.
You're on that list, from what I gather.
Well, we do. I am part.
I don't know if you wanted that information out there.
No,
you know?
I saw a UFO.
Okay.
I've talked about it.
Okay.
So there's a Venn diagram.
All right.
Where Tom Brady, Baker Mayfield, and I, the one thing we have in common. So Tom said yesterday, Colin, how do you know I haven't seen an alien? Baker says he saw it. There's our Venn diagram.
All right.
And I did see it in Grayland, Washington years ago. I've talked about it on the air. Have you ever seen a alien?
I think I've seen plenty of aliens, Colin. I grew up in the inner city. So, you know, and I grew up in the inner city in the 90s. So
how about UFOs?
You know, it's interesting. Where I come from, a UFO was a police helicopter. That's a UFO, you know. It was an unidentified flying object that was coming to look over things, you know. That was a UFO where I come from. So yes, I have seen UFOs. Now terrestrial, you know, from outer space, I've seen shooting stars.
Yes, I've a lot of them.
I don't know that those were UFOs of like you know, like propulsion, jet propulsion, or some whatever the technology would be from the outer space, if it was from Jupiter or Saturn or something like that. I don't know what their technology would be, but I've seen streaks across the sky.
Yeah.
We call them shooting stars, but who's to say? You know, it's an object. It's flying. I don't know what to identify it as, so I would say it's an unidentified flying object, boom, which would qualify as a UFO.
That's what I saw once.
There you go.
I could not identify it.
We're on the same page, Colin.
And that's what Neil said, too.
That's what they are.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you don't know.
Those Phoenix lights everybody sees, you just can't identify them. So they're flying in their objects, you just can't identify them. LeVar Arrington, hosting with Joy Taylor today. Speak for yourself. Great to have you in. Always appreciate that.
Love when I come on.